Hello, storytellers and creatives. So, this is episode number 14, season one, and today we're going to be talking about A Teacher, season one, episode two. And this is where the episode and really the series get really interesting, and we see more of Claire's behavior and how she interacts with Eric and all the lies, all the manipulation, and like I said before, the lack of boundaries. I know I'm going to keep harping on that, but it's significant to the plot and to the character arcs as well. So, yeah. So let's get into it. The episode begins with a huge party, right? All these high school teenagers. There's alcohol, there's drugs, people are hooking up, they're all underage. And of course, Eric goes upstairs with Allison and they have sex, and the police end up crashing the party, and the neighbors end up snitching on them. And then we see Eric try to ditch Allison, but he gets caught by the cops when he tries to go down the stairs. And he and Logan and the rest of the people are sitting on the sofa. And Eric is like sitting on pins and needles because he's like, oh my God, I can't get caught. I don't have like rich parents who have it in good with the cops and the court system and everything like that. I'm from a single parent household. My mom is working poor. We barely have money to get by. She works all these hours. So Eric isn't like a lot of these kids. He gets good grades, but he doesn't come from the same socioeconomic class. And that's why I tell you guys, with character development, you also have to know what kind of background your character comes from. What is his or her social class? What is his or her social economic, or sorry guys, I said that wrong, socioeconomic status? Who is this person? What advantages do they have in the world? What disadvantages do they have? Are they around people who have privilege and maybe they don't? That would speak volumes. And at this point, Eric is like, oh my God, this is effed up. I messed up. And Logan, remember, Logan comes from a rich family. His mom and dad have a lot of influence. And he's just like, I can't believe you're back with Allison, by the way. And that just shows how lackadaisical Logan is because he's privileged. He doesn't have to worry about a lot of that stuff because he knows his mom and dad will pull a few strings to get him off. So him getting a citation is like the least of his worries. And Eric is looking at him like, dude, what the hell? First of all, I can't believe you would ask me that right now. And second of all, aren't your parents gonna be pissed? And Logan's like, well, yeah, my mom's gonna kill me. And then the cop, who happens to be Claire's brother, Nate, summons Eric over and asks for his license and gives him a breathalyzer test to check his alcohol levels. And of course, he's quote unquote well over the legal limit. And he's like, we're going to need to call your mommy and daddy to come pick you up. And at that point, Eric is like, I can't do that. And Nate is like, look, you're just gonna have to wake them up, okay? And Eric is like, no, my mom, she works nights and I can't call her. She can't take the time off work. And Nate's like, okay, your dad? And he's like, not in the picture. And then that's when he starts to really beg. He's like, I'm not like these other kids, man. Look, if I get this citation, I am screwed. And Nate has no sympathy at this point. He's like, you should have thought about that before you started drinking. And then Eric looks closer at his badge and sees the name Wilson. And a light bulb goes off in his head, like, wait a minute. He's like, you don't have a sister who teaches at Westbrook, do you? And Nate's like, come on, man. Don't make this difficult. And Eric is like, no, Miss Wilson, she told me about you. You were in the military, right? She's my teacher and she tutors me on the side sometimes. And I know that this is a huge ask, but is there any way that you could call her to come pick me up? Please, man, I don't have anyone else I can call. And at that point, Nate calls Claire on Eric's behalf, and Claire is at home with her husband Matt, and she gets a text from Nate, or really a phone call, and then she's like, Hey Nate, thank you for calling me. Could you just let it slide, please? I can be right over. Just text me the address. And then she tells Matt, hey, one of my students got in trouble, so I'm gonna go help him out. I'll be back soon. I'll be quick. And let me just say, my own little personal observation, that is already suspicious within itself because she's involving herself in something that really isn't her concern. And the fact that she's so willing to immerse herself into Eric's life and help him out and bail him out and pull strings, she's grooming him. And a lot of people wouldn't see this, but with predators, you have to remember everything is in plain sight. You have to remember that it's so blatant right in front of you that you wouldn't even notice it because it's so blatant that it doesn't even look suspicious, when in reality, it is. And then we see Eric and Allison sit on the sidewalk as they wait for, the parents to pick everyone up. And Eric is like, hey, I'm sorry I left you up there. And Allison's like, oh, it's fine. Actually, when you left me up there, I jumped out the window and I still got caught. So, really dumb. Oh, God. So, how does this work? Do I have to go to court now? I can't believe you didn't get a citation. I'm so confused. And see, subtext. The fact that Eric didn't get a citation when he was drinking just as much as those other kids is suspicious within itself. But Eric, unfortunately, has something that the other kids don't, a teacher who's into him. And that's really a bad thing, even though right now it's like, oh, cool, he got off scot-free, no citation. But really, it's not good because now he's on his way to becoming a victim. So keep hearing this, guys. Then we hear Allison's dad show up and she leaves. And then shortly after, Claire picks up Eric and Nate leads Eric to the car. And Nate's like, look, you're lucky you have such a cool teacher. And Claire is like, look, Nate, thank you again. I'll talk to you tomorrow. They drive off and then Eric apologizes. He's like, thank you. Seriously, thank you so much. And Claire is like, you know what you did tonight was really stupid. You're smarter than this. Now put on your seatbelt. And then she drives down the road and she's like, look, what happened tonight, me picking you up and my brother letting you off, can never be repeated ever. You cannot tell anyone about it, okay? And Eric is like, yeah, I got it. And Claire tells him, no, seriously, my brother could lose his job. And Eric's like, I got it. I'm really sorry. And then he takes a deep breath, sigh of relief, and Claire laughs. And Eric is like, Miss Wilson, are you laughing at me? You know this is a low point for me, right? And Claire is like, I know. And listen to this part. This is when lack of boundaries resurface yet again. And she's like, hey, you don't have to call me Miss Wilson when we're not in school. I mean, I have a first name. It's Claire. Like I said, no boundaries. And I don't know about you guys, but when I was in school, I didn't call any of my teachers, even my favorite ones, by their first name. I just didn't. No matter how cool I was with them, there was just always this unspoken thing like, no, they're a teacher, I'm a student. There's a hierarchy there, there's an authority there. They're still, a teacher. They're not like my best friend, even though they're cool, but they still establish that boundary. And the fact that Claire isn't speaks volumes about, like I said in the first episode, her lack of impulse control, lack of discipline, and lack of boundaries. And even Eric feels weird calling her Claire because even though he's a minor, kids aren't stupid. They know. They know what's right and what's not right and what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. And even he's like, I'm sorry, it's so weird to say Claire. Because in his mind, he's like, well, wait a minute, that's my teacher. And now I'm calling her by the first name and she's saying it's okay. Like, what? You know what I mean? And she drops Eric off and she's like, hey, I'll see you tomorrow for tutoring. And then the next day, she shows up to his house unannounced and he lets her in. And she's like, oh, I was calling and you weren't answering, so I just showed up. And he tells her that his phone was silent and invites her in. And then she drops a bomb on him, like, hey, I know we were supposed to meet at the diner, but I just thought we'd do something different than the regular routine. And Eric is confused. He goes, no SAT prep. And she's like, nope, not today. And then he's curious. He's like, okay, so where are you taking me? I kind of feel like you're kidnapping me. And Claire's like, I'm taking you to UT, give you a tour of the campus, unless you'd rather study for the SATs. Somehow I thought this would be more fun. And Eric is like, oh no, I'm down. And then they get to UT, and Claire probes him to learn more about him, what his goals are, what he wants to do with his life. Like, why should I keep helping you? What are your goals? And remember, Eric is only 17. He's still a kid. And of course, he's like, I don't know. And she's like, no, come on. You've got to have some idea of what you want to do. And Eric goes into his whole plan about wanting to be a doctor and help people any way he can. And Claire reveals that that's why she wanted to be a teacher. And Eric takes this chance to really apologize to her about the other night. He's like, I'm really sorry about the other night. I should not have had your brother call. I know that. I don't know. I feel like I can trust you. And then the car honks next to them, and Eric sees one of his college friends, Cody, and he's like, Eric Walker, I thought that was you. So you're just gonna come on campus and not tell me you're here? Like, what? And, Claire introduces herself to him as well, but remember, she doesn't reveal that she is his teacher. She just says, oh, I'm Claire, as if they're just friends or equals or, boyfriend and girlfriend. And of course, Cody invites them to a keg party, and the fact that Claire is cool with it, like I said, no boundaries. And Claire is like, you want to know a secret? This is my first frat party. And Eric can't believe it. He's like, shut up. And Claire's like, yeah. I was a commuter student. I had to take care of my dad, so I never got to. Yeah. And that also says a lot about Claire's core wound. Why? Because she never really got to have a childhood and enjoy her youth because she was always taking care of her dad. It was like she was the parent and he was the child in that scenario. And so her being with Eric or her hanging around Eric is really her trying to reclaim her youth. And that's why she's so immature and impulsive and is so cool with going to a frat party and a keg party because she never did that stuff. Not that it's right, but it does provide clarity. And she reveals that her dad was an alcoholic, and then Eric is like, if it makes you feel any better, I never met my dad. My mom got pregnant and he was out. And Claire tells him, don't miss this part of your life. You're gonna have plenty of time to be an adult. Just be happy. And Eric looks closely at her and he notices that she has something in her hair or behind her ear. I can't remember which, but he's like, you have a little green chili right here. And Claire feels the tension between them and she's like, yeah, we should probably go. So she drops him off and then she arrives back at her house. And Eric sends her a text message that says today was fun, and she deletes the message. And back home, Eric waits for the text and contemplates adding her on IG. And then we see Claire and her husband Matt, and Matt is super excited right now. He's on cloud nine. He just purchased all this expensive band equipment, guitars, everything like that, and he is just excited to reclaim that time in his life where he was in love with music. And Claire is like, "What is all this?" And Matt's like, "What is all this? Let me introduce you to the gang. This is an EVH 5150, massive tone, deep, rich overdrive." And Claire is like, "What is it doing here?" And he reveals that he bought it. And Claire is like, "I'm sorry, what?" And Matt's like, "You know that doctor I was telling you about, Rob at the hospital? He has this friend. He's like this anesthesiologist." And Claire goes, "Wait, wait, wait. How much did you spend?" And Matt's like, "Oh no, this stuff never loses value." And Claire is mad at this point. She's like, "So you're just gonna buy all this shit and not talk to me about it first?" And Matt's like, "Okay, first of all, it's not shit. It's actually top of the line." And Claire's like, "You can't just blow our savings because you want to jam with a bunch of middle-aged doctors." And Matt's like, "We're not just gonna jam." And Claire goes, "Oh, what? You're gonna start a band?" And then subtext, Matt doesn't say it, but she can tell by his facial expression that that's what he's thinking. By him not replying to that question, he already said a mouthful. Subtext. And Claire's like, "Oh my God, you're gonna start a band?" And Matt's like, "I'm sorry, is that crazy? I love music. It's always been a big part of my life." And Claire's like, "Yeah, when you were like 20." And Matt's like, "Okay, yeah, and I've missed it ever since I stopped playing. Sorry, what the hell?" And Claire just jumps to conclusion, like, "So are you just gonna quit your job and go on tour?" And Matt's like, "Who said anything about quitting? I'm not quitting, and it's money I got from my grandfather's bonds." And Claire is like, "I thought we were saving that money for something special." And Matt's like, "You know what? You're being real shitty. This is something I want. Why are you being like this?" And Claire's like, "I don't know, okay? I'm sorry. I don't know." Then, meanwhile, at Eric's house, we see Eric and his mom, and she's trying to learn more about what's been going on with him because remember, she works crazy, crazy long hours, so she doesn't have the privilege of being that involved mom that she wishes she could be. And she's like, "So, how's it going with oh God, what's her name? Your English teacher?" And Eric's like, "Fine." And she's like, "You had your SAT prep today?" And Eric reveals, "Actually, we went to UT. She showed me around campus. We went to the library. She used to go there, so she knew the ropes and showed me around." And Eric's mom, don't get me wrong, nice woman, sweet woman, hard working. I'm gonna say this and it's gonna sound kind of mean, but very, very ditzy. She doesn't really read between the lines. She doesn't really analyze things. She was like, "Oh, wow, that was nice of her." And the whole time I'm sitting there looking like, yeah, a little too nice, right? And his mom is still like, "Wow, that's a big deal, her giving up a Saturday like that to show you around." And Eric's like, "Yeah, she's real cool and good to talk to. Someone to talk to about colleges and the application process and the SAT and all that." And then we see Claire laying in bed and Matt's asleep, and she contemplates adding Eric on IG one more time. And then the next day at school, Eric meets up with Logan and Josh, and Logan and Josh question how Eric passed his breathalyzer test after 6 shots of vodka. And Logan's like, yeah, man, what's up with that? And Josh is like, yeah, that was weird. And Eric deflects. He's like, dude, okay, first of all, that's an exaggeration. And second of all, hydrate, dude, 1-to-1. Knowing full well he's lying, but hey, whatever. And he gets an IG notification, and Claire accepted his friend request, and he's all giddy. And Logan notices, and he's like, dude, what's up with you? And Eric's like, nothing. And then he goes to meet up with Claire, and he's like, can I talk to you for a second? And Claire is like, sure, come on in. And she shuts the door, and he asks, oh, did you get my text? And she's like, yeah. And Eric really lays it on thick at this point. He's like, I liked being out in the world with you. And Claire's like, well, I'm glad you liked it. And at that point, Eric is like ready to risk it all at this point. He walks over and kisses her, and she pushes him away. And Claire is like, you know, trying to play crazy, trying to play victim, as if she didn't make it to where Eric felt that comfortable. Now, should Eric have kissed her? No, because at the end of the day, that's his teacher. She's in a higher position of authority and that type of thing. But Claire needs to stop playing victim and acting like that just came out of nowhere. You know what I mean? And like I said before, she's grooming him. If you didn't want him to get any weird ideas about you, why would you accept his friend request? Why would you tell him to call you Claire? Why would you get him off the hook for drinking at a party? Why would you get him into a keg party? Why would you take him to UT as if you guys are friends or boyfriend and girlfriend and not teacher and student, right? So she pretty much laid the foundation for Eric to do that. You know what? Get mad at me. I said what I said, right? And Eric is like, wait, I'm sorry. And Claire's like playing crazy. She's like, what are you doing? Oh my God, you need to leave. You need to leave now. And Eric's like, I'm sorry. And she's like, go, go, get out of here now. And he rushes out. And she's like, you know, pretending to be in shock. Like, she's this little victim. And I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. Because if you wanted it to be strictly teacher-student, strictly professional, you wouldn't have let him call you Claire, even if it is outside of school, even if you guys aren't in the classroom together, right? And I think this really shows how subtle grooming can be, because now she's manipulating him into thinking that he did something wrong, that he's the one that hurt her, when really she's playing mind games with him, and he's too young to really realize that, right? And yeah, that's why I love this series, because it shows how boys can be victimized too, that it's not just girls that this happens to. And like I said in the first episode I did, boys can get preyed upon too. And don't think that just because it's a female teacher that they're harmless. You really have to watch. And you also have to remember, Claire knew who she was targeting. She knew not to target Logan. She knew not to target Josh. Why? Because they both have active parents who aren't working like 2 and 3 jobs trying to make ends meet. Eric was an easy target because, one, he needed tutoring, and two, he needed somebody to really confide in because his mom really isn't there like she could be, or not even could be because she can't. Better yet, she's not there in the way she would like to be. That's more like it. But she knew that it would be so easy to have access to him. Single parent household, a mother that always works, a teenage boy that has to grow up way before his time. Oh my God, perfect formula, right? She knew what she was doing. But anyway, you guys, like, subscribe, share my podcast. And be sure to click the link in my bio to get access to my free ebook, The Character Bio Playbook, where I teach you how to create characters that leap right off the page. And if you've finished with your script and you would like feedback and notes on it, be sure to click the other link in my bio for script coverage as well. Have a great day, you guys, and I'll catch you again in the next podcast.